He said, Pastor, if you only knew my story. Well, God knows your story, but this morning, despite the fact that he knows your story, he's telling you, listen, complacency, he's still telling you that complacency will destroy you.
Hello, and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Complacency. Satisfaction with the way things are, even when potential dangers are lurking. It is true that change always presents challenges, but in this evening's message, Pastor Brian Grant quotes A.W. Tozer, who says, quote, complacency is the enemy of spiritual progress, end quote, underscoring how complacency, satisfaction with the status quo, is never in the Lord's will for his people. So we invite you to turn with us to the book of 2 Kings and chapter 7 as Pastor Grant takes us to an event in the life of Elisha the prophet that illustrates what can happen when people, seemingly trapped in the grip of the status quo of where faith has found them, take up the challenge to step out into the unknown. Here now is Pastor Grant with his message, Escaping the Grip of Complacency.
Have you ever seen a bonsai tree? You know, bonsai trees are very small trees that were introduced to the world by the Japanese. You know, whereas trees are usually measured in feet, bonsai trees are measured in inches. I have seen bonsai trees 250, 300 years old, and they're only about 4, 5, 6, 7 inches tall. And you may say, wow, for a tree that's 300 years old to be only 6 inches tall, that must be some special type of tree. How many of you have ever seen a bonsai tree? But you know, bonsais are not some special type of tree. A bonsai is actually a regular tree, but when the plant first stuck its head out of the ground, the owner of the plant pulled it out and sort of tied off some of its, the main taproot and some of the other feeder roots, and then he replanted that bonsai tree back into the earth. And so the growth of a bonsai tree was deliberately stunted. As a result, these trees, hundreds of years old, and they can only shade a roach. Because not even a good-sized rat can fit under the bonsai tree. And certainly the smallest dog couldn't get any shade from the average bonsai tree. Hundreds of years old, and still not able to do one of the basic purposes of a tree, to provide shade. But you know, bonsai trees are not the only thing whose growth has been stunted. Because the truth is, there are many Christians whose spiritual growth has been stunted. A spiritual growth stunted purposely by Satan. And one of the main tools that Satan uses to stunt our growth is to lull us into spiritual complacency. And so, since God has big plans for every single Christian, no matter your age or your stage, God has a big plan for you if you know him as your Savior. And since God has a big plan for every Christian, I want to speak to you very briefly this morning on the title, Escaping the Grip of Complacency. Escaping the Grip of Complacency. What is complacency? Put this in your notes if you, there are notes in your bulletin, pull them out and let's follow together. Complacency, put this down. Complacency is self-satisfaction with things the way they are, even while potential dangers are lurking. Complacency is self-satisfaction with things the way they are. The mantra of a complacent person is that things are good enough. You ever run into anyone like that? Things are good enough. You see, because good enough is good enough for the complacent person. The complacent person is not really concerned as to whether things could be better or whether there is a best. Good enough is good enough. Are you a complacent person? A.W. Tozer, author of The Pursuit of God, wrote that complacency is the deadly enemy of spiritual progress. Complacency is the deadly enemy of spiritual progress. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 32 supports him, because Proverbs 1:32 warns the complacency of fools will destroy them. Don't miss that. Complacency is the deadly enemy of spiritual progress, and complacency, the complacency of fools will destroy them. Complacency, spiritual complacency, is a very serious problem. You say, Pastor, why is complacency so deadly? I believe it's because if you're not growing spiritually, you're actually moving backward. You know, there are certain things in life, there are certain things it's not very good to stop pedaling or to stop, to think you can stand still. But you know, in the Christian life, we have to swim uphill. A Christian cannot afford to float with the tide downhill, amen? We're always swimming against the tide. We're swimming uphill. And so anytime a Christian decides, oh, I think I'm good enough, I'm spiritually strong enough, I know the Bible well enough, I've done enough praying. Anytime you decide to stop and be at a standstill, you're not swimming against the tide anymore. You're floating downhill with the tide. You're actually starting to backslide slowly. This is why sometimes you meet individuals, we've all known individuals who we thought had spiritually had it together. They seemed to have been strong Christians. Then all of a sudden, you notice they had disappeared. Have you ever noticed that? Because sometimes we become complacent. We figure we're good enough, we're spiritual enough, and we decide to stand still. It ain't going to happen in the Christian life. So how do we escape this grip of complacency? I want this morning to look at this very unusual text. You may be reading this and you say, what in the world does this text have to do with complacency? Well, we'll see in a moment. But there are three powerful lessons, perhaps four, but we're only going to point at three lessons this morning that I believe have a lot to do with escaping the grip of complacency. First, we must break free of our self-imposed limitations. We must break free of our self-imposed limitations. I'm reading from 2 Kings chapter 7, and I'm reading from verses 3 and 4. There were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, "Why are we sitting here until we die? If we say we will enter the city, the famine is in the city, we're going to die there." And just for background, some of you, in case you missed the previous message where we looked at chapter 6, what is happening here is that there's a tremendous famine in Samaria. Samaria is the capital of Israel at this time. And Samaria, the capital city, was surrounded by the Syrians. The Syrian army has surrounded the city. They have cut off all supplies from entering the city. And as a result, there is an incredible famine in Samaria. And here these lepers, they're saying, hey, if we go into the city, the famine is there, we're going to die there. If we sit here, we're going to die also. They said, so let us therefore go to the army of the Syrians. If they keep us alive, we shall live. If they kill us, we shall only die, because if we stay here, we're dead. If we go back, we're going to die there. So we may as well try something different. We may as well get out of the box. One of the main causes of complacency is self-imposed limitations. The belief that we are not capable of achieving anything greater. And by the way, that's true whether it's spiritual complacency or any other type of complacency. They're individuals who sometimes are complacent on the work site. They just don't believe that they're capable of doing anything better or anything greater, so they remain in their little box. Have you ever met people who stay in their box? If you notice, every now and then I will talk about trying to get out of your box, because I believe sometimes culture culturally, and the way we are raised, we feel constrained to stay in a box. But God doesn't want us to stay in a box. He doesn't want us to feel like we can't do any better. Now, if anybody had a right to feel they couldn't do any better, it was these four leprous men. Because their bodies were falling apart. We spoke about leprosy before when we spoke about, gave you the message on Naaman. So some of you remember that leprosy is, you're decaying on the inside. You're rotting away on the inside. Your limbs are falling off. And there's no feeling in some of your joints there, your extremities. And so rats and other rodents would be eating your fingers and your toes. You wake up in the morning and you have lost of your big toe. Listen, these guys, they had every reason to be complacent. Their bodies were breaking down. But amazing. Stuff was tough for them too. Because not only did they have this physical problem, the society insisted that they had to live outside the city wall. You couldn't live inside because of leprosy. You had to live outside the wall. And if you dared come inside, you had to make sure you shouted in advance, unclean, unclean, so everybody could stay away from you. This was a tough life. It was a tough life even before the siege against Samaria started. You see, before the siege started, I'm sure there were kind people who would hand them some leftover food over the wall. But now there was no more leftover food. Things were so tough in Samaria, the Bible tells us the people were eating donkeys' heads and doves' poop. There was nothing left. There was not even garbage for these guys to get. They were in very, very bad shape. And so the four lepers, listen, despite the fact that they had every reason to be complacent, these lepers decided they were going to do something big and dramatic. They made a decision. We're going to go and break through these limitations, and we're going to go to the army of the Syrians and see what happens there. You know, maybe talking this morning to someone whose medical condition is so desperate and so serious that you believe there's very little you can do for God. There's very little that you can accomplish because you're in such bad shape. You may just as well sit on your stump until God calls you home. Every now and then I run into Christians like that, you know. They believe things are so bad, there's nothing God can use me for.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Boy, I tell you, if you spoke to these lepers today, they would tell you it ain't over till God says it's over. Amen. I'll never forget, as I was preparing the message, my mind went to one of my cousins, and you know, she was one of those dear ladies who trusted God. And you know, she, like many other individuals, she wanted a husband, but there was no husband in her 20s and her 30s. And now, when she was in her early 40s, God blessed her and provided a husband for her. And I tell you, all of us were excited for this. But you know, within a year or two of the wedding, after all this waiting, she was struck with a very serious illness. She was in a coma in the hospital for weeks. She was in a coma. The doctor said there was nothing they could do because she was just in a coma. And I remember the elders of the church, my dad was one, and they went in and they anointed her with oil. And she started to improve. Oh, she did not just, but she started to improve. That very day, there was a flicker. Eventually, she was able to leave the hospital, but she never ever recovered. It turned out she had a very severe case of multiple sclerosis, and she was never able to walk or do very much for herself. But she could still speak. Not perfectly, but she could speak well enough for you to understand her. And I tell you that what an amazing encourager she became. Anybody who she knew was sick, she would be on the phone encouraging you and praying with you. If you had a personal problem, she was going to call you. She was one of the most incredible encouragers I have ever met in my life. So much so that anytime I went to Jamaica and I might have friends with me, I made sure we go to visit her. And as she saw us, her heart, you've never seen such an incredible smile despite all her problems. And perhaps speaking to somebody now and you're struggling with something and you're smile is gone. Your spirit is broken. So my dear cousin, her spirit was never broken. Every day was a new day to praise God and to rejoice in the goodness of God and to rejoice that she knew God, and her smile just broke out. And I want to tell you, it was the first funeral I ever went to. When we went to her funeral years later, it was the first funeral I ever saw the deceased receive a standing ovation as everybody got up to give her an ovation for the life that she had lived. Listen, no matter what you're going through, God is trying to tell you this morning, it ain't over till he says it's over, and God can still use you. So don't allow sickness to make you complacent. Make yourself available to God. And my friend, this morning, I'm going to give you an invitation, and I trust that this morning you will say to God, God, despite all my infirmity, despite all the drama in my life, God, I'm available to you. Use me, Lord, in the way that you see fit, because God still has work for you to do. I wonder, what is your reason? Why have you become spiritually complacent? What is it? Is it problems in the family? What is it that has caused you to become spiritually complacent? You said, Pastor, if you only knew my story. Well, God knows your story, but this morning, despite the fact that he knows your story, he's telling you, listen, complacency, he's still telling you that complacency will destroy you. I met some people who are complacent because of the fact that they're ashamed of their past. They did so much mess before they came to know Jesus. In some cases, it's after they came to know Jesus. But they have done so much mess that they figure it's impossible for God to use me. Pastor, you don't know what I did. I'm just not good enough. And you are right. You are not good enough. But none of us are. Not one of us is good enough. But thank God for what the blood did. Amen. The blood, what the blood did. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18. I think we'll put it on the screen for you. Isaiah 1:18, because this is a verse I believe every Christian ought to be grabbing a hold of. It says, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Hallelujah. No matter how dirty, how red they are. By the way, in the context in which we are these days, it's good for us to note, because I've gone to churches to preach, and their song said, my heart was black with sin, but Jesus took me in. Notice it didn't say that, it said it red. I hope you noticed that. Little things like this matter, amen? It's so though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. They are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You see, everybody's sin was the same. They were red like crimson, but hallelujah, the blood of Jesus has washed us white as snow. Yes, that is worth a hand clap. Hallelujah for the blood. Amen. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, has cleansed us, hallelujah, from all sin. My sins are gone, gone. Oh, we used to sing in Sunday school, gone, 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 gone. Yes, my sins are gone. Now, there's a little part of the song that says, he has buried them, I'm not sure if it's that song, he has buried them in the sea of forgetfulness. Strike that song, because he didn't bury them in the sea of forgetfulness. You say, Pastor, are you sure? You say forgetfulness is a human weakness. The Almighty God cannot forget. It's really, listen, if you look at it, he has chosen to remove it from his mind. It's an actual act of God's will that God chooses. So even when, if your version may use that word forget, the idea here is not a human failing. God, you know why you want to make sure you don't think of forgetting? Because I have forgotten something sometimes and then I remembered. Has that ever happened to you? I couldn't remember where my car keys was. And all of a sudden I remembered, oh, I'm so glad that's not what's going to happen with my sin, that God has forgotten it, but someday he's going to remember. Hallelujah, amen. They are gone, gone, gone. And my friend, as you listen to God's word this morning, no matter what you have done, no matter what drama you got yourself into, just remember that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, has cleansed us from all sin. Those sins are gone, and God has made us all worthy. And he can use you, he can use me, and he can use us all. And the time for complacency has ended. Amen? So how do we escape? Based on this passage, what are some of the lessons we're learning? Lesson number one, we must break free of our self-imposed limitations. But secondly, we must discover the thrill that God alone can provide. We must discover the thrill that God alone can provide. I'm in 2 Kings chapter 7, and I'm continuing by reading verse number 8. And here's what the text says. And they rose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they had come to the outskirts of the camp, to their surprise, no one was there, for the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses and the noise of a great army. So they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired against us all these other armies. Verse number 8. And when these lepers came to the outskirts of this camp, they went into one tent and ate and drank and carried from it silver and gold and clothing and went and hid them. And they came back and entered another tent and carried some from there and went and hid it. Can you imagine their thrill? I hope you can imagine the thrill of these lepers. The day before, they didn't have nothing to eat. And a few weeks before that, before this problem started, they were only eating scraps, leftover garbage. And now here they are. The best steaks. Or if you're a vegetarian, the best fruits and vegetables. The best, oh my goodness, the best burgers, the best chicken wings, oh, the best barbecue pork. The best of everything was there. Just imagine the thrill. Oh my goodness, they're eating and drinking. Probably had some good vintage wine. They were drinking their wine. They're putting on the clothes on their broken down bodies, and what a thrill they had. The part that is very amusing to me, they were hiding it, you know. I guess this is where the show hoarders came from. We better hoard this, we better store this stuff. You said, Pastor, where in the world are you trying to tell us? I'm just simply trying to say to you that when we discover what Christ has done for us and provided for us, by the way, all of this stuff was provided by God. If you read the text, it makes it very clear this was an act of God where all these provisions have come about. And I just want you to realize that what God has provided for us, listen, if we really get to understand what God has provided for us, we are going to be so excited.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen.
And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.